Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and myself, LeVar Arrington. Make sure you catch us live weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We got some harsh accusations by somebody in the NFL world. We're going to get into all of it coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are making us a part of your Thursday morning. We appreciate you doing so. We'll take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific right here on FSR. Or a thirsty Thursday. As a lot of people refer to it. Just saying. But,
I think those people tend to be on college campuses.
Oh, you know. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, I just. Yeah. What's that look for, LeVar?
LeVar, are you thirsty right now?
Roberto is such a dirtbag.
Brady.
Tell Brady what you just said.
Brady.
Is he allowed to?
Not over the air. No.
You are just a dirtbag and a half. It's not even like.
Yeah, hey. Yeah, Roberto, you are.
Yeah.
You are Roberto.
Yeah, but yeah. Solid point, though. Definitely a solid point. We cannot deny that. All right. So let's get into somebody who made some harsh accusations against the NFL, the John Gruden saga, which is, we're waiting for that to play out because he is going to file a lawsuit against the league. He is no longer the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. It doesn't appear like they've missed him too much. They are still firmly in the playoff hunt after a big win on Thanksgiving. And so Brett Musburger, who is the voice of the Raiders on radio, the broadcasting legend, he was on the Las Vegas Sports Network recently with JT the Brick, by the way, Fox Sports Radio alum, the great JT the Brick, good dude, was here for a long, long time.
I've heard a lot of stories about him.
Yeah, he's and I actually had an opportunity to fill in and work with JT a bunch of times. Always super, super cool to me. And he had Brett Musburger on, and the subject of John Gruden came up, and here's how it sounded.
First of all, as I told Coach, whoever took you out, John, that was a paid assassin, okay? That was one of the best hit jobs that I've ever been around, okay? They didn't go to their media goombas. They didn't leak this to Adam Schefter, or one of those guys who breaks stories. They first went to the Wall Street Journal. And when Gruden was still coaching after that, then they dumped the rest of it on the New York Times. That was a professional hit job, but I want to tell everybody that I'm not completely sure it was somebody in the NFL. There was a second lawsuit involved, okay, between the owner, Snyder of Washington, and a former general manager. And that means that a lot of outside people had access to those emails.
So there was Brett Musburger, taking a shot at the NFL, paid assassin.
Hey, I think he took Brent, a shot at somebody else, too, though.
Well, either way, hey, Brent, he's not helping John Gruden's case if he's trying to sue the NFL in any way. So, I mean, he's basically making it more difficult to discern who exactly,
yeah, he did,
you know, sort of leak all of this stuff. So that's the first thing. And the second thing I'll just say is, I don't care how all of that became public. I mean, if it was illegal, okay.
But he did it.
An attorney and a judge. But he said it.
He did it. You're right.
He said it. So it's like, what's it? He's not going to save face. Like what? I mean, he said it.
Let
over
me tell
a period
you something.
Of time, by the way.
I got to tell you, whoever the hitman is that put that stuff out to the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times that you killed that man 10 years ago,
yeah,
I tell you what, they had some type of vested interest in you making that thing, that body go.
Yeah, like, let's get the on. Rat, I, not the
I'm
shooter.
Yeah, come yeah, on. I'm, yeah, I'm with you, Brady.
Yeah,
I'm
it's I just, look, we talked about it. Something seemed, and still does seem a little bit fishy. fishy about how the NFL handled it. Albert Breer is going to join us here shortly. You know, he had talked about, there was some speculation as to, why Gruden's emails were the only ones that came out. The fact of the matter is, does anybody think we're ever going to see what all the emails were? There's no chance. It's the NFL. This is going to be covered up for as long as possible, and none of that stuff is going to get out. So I agree, something fishy happened, but it's still like he still said those things. Like, it's not like they made up emails and somebody wrote an email from John Gruden's account and he's saying he got hacked. He absolutely said those things. He made those comments, and the NFL used this as a way to get a big name so they didn't have to release the other stuff. It sucks, but there was a major cover-up, but he still made the comments.
He was the fall guy.
Yes.
I mean, he ended up being the fall guy in all this, and I'm not saying that, by the way, for anyone to give him any pity. Like, he said what he said. He lost his job because it became public. He has to be accountable and responsible for his actions. Like, I think we all do, by the way. Like, that's my most frustrating part of our society is, in ways, we almost have, like, just completely taken our hands off of any responsibility or accountability when we make a mistake or something bad happens. Like, we don't own it anymore. And that's in this case, like, even though John Gruden may feel like he's been wronged and someone had a vendetta against him to make those things come to light, he still said them. So it is what it is. And he might say, well, I want to take down all the other people, too, that I know are doing bad things. Okay, that's your prerogative. Go off and figure out how you're going to do that the rest of your life.
But don't try to make him a sympathetic figure.
No one's trying to like make it sympathetic or you feel bad for him. He said what he said. What does this change?
And by the way, the fact that Brett Musburger would feel confident enough in coming out and speaking that harshly about it tells me that Mark Davis probably didn't mind him coming out and speaking on that.
Yeah, of course. You know,
because Mark Davis feels like he got jobbed as well, too.
Because he did. Because he did. Hey, so here's the thing, right?
What was that noise that you made?
I don't know. Where'd that come from? Was that me? Dang, every time I hear his name, it just happens. When I look at this, it's funny because I think about what we talked about yesterday with RG3 coming out with his book. That's what he's playing off of. He's basing the fact that he's going to do a tell-all book as this plays out in the legal system. This will continue to be the gift that keeps giving, right? It'll flare up on you.
Oh, yeah, there's still meat on the bone.
It'll continue to pop back up on you when you least expected it, making this a relevant conversation, right? So when you think about what RG3 is going to offer in his book in terms of how he details his experience, the one thing that I'll say when Brent put that out there that I immediately thought to myself is, The most culpable person in all of this, the origin of all of this, is the owner of the team.
Yeah.
He is the catalyst of those emails. He is the one that is responsible for the culture that was there. And it's like
meeting Dan Snyder.
Well, you said it. I didn't.
Well, I mean, come
but
on.
Dan Snyder.
Here we go.
Danny.
Here we go.
Danny.
You wound him up.
Here's the thing.
You wound LeVar up. Here we go.
I'm just saying. Let's just be real
LeVar
about
knows
this.
The guy. I mean, I don't have to
put on your seatbelts. Get ready for takeoff.
All I'm saying is if I'm Brent Musburger and I'm talking about a hitman, and this person really knew how to do it, and he did it in the two places that those two publications exist are where in the world? New York. That's New York, right? That's the epicenter of all of this. Do you understand what the connections and the ties are of New York media is to one Daniel Snyder, right? So when you think about everything that's taking place, for John Gruden to be sitting at home somewhere hoping and wondering if he can salvage any type of anything connected to his reputation as to what took place, but yet you still have one person that owns a team and is still in the driver's seat to try to come out of this in whatever way he's going to come out of it and get back to being the owner of his team, which is still owned by his family, there's something to that. There's something to the fact that this man is still owning the team, but he is the, like, it for whatever wrong John Gruden's wrong is, It doesn't even come close to what Dan Snyder's wrong is. Not even close.
This is also what I wonder. I believe if you looked hard enough and you looked close enough, you could find something shady with every single owner in the NFL.
Well, that's point. But this is a specified microscope-looking deal that we're dealing with now.
But my point on this is that's why if I were Mark Davis, I'd be a little bit hesitant about how far down the road and down the well you want to go. Because the NFL has already shown you, hey, man, like if we want to, we can just drop some bombs and get your coach out of town when you guys are in the middle of a playoff push. I mean, I think were they number one in the AFC at that time?
They were pretty
high.
And
the guy got fired during Monday Night Football. So if I were Mark Davis, maybe have a conversation with John Gruden and say, look, if they want to go deep enough down this hole,
but you got to look at it from the other side of it. If I'm Mark Davis and I'm some of these other owners, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of if this dude can keep running wild and doing things the way he wants to do it and taking shots like this the way that he does, then none of us are safe anyway. None of us are safe anyway.
But I think there's a lot of owners that I don't want to say are in cahoots with Dan Snyder, but I think there's a lot of
owners. But that's what I'm telling you. You're saying what I'm saying. What I'm telling you is if this dude is willing to go that hard where he would take out a coach that is working for another franchise based off of whatever it is. And listen, this is speculative, right? This is speculation. I'm just saying.
No, let's run with it. Let's run with this. Breaking
I would
news.
Say, I would say if we picked up the rock to see what was under that rock as to what was the origin of how this happened, I guarantee you, if not alone, is there. present.
I would love to get Mark Davis's thoughts.
I would love to get Dan's thoughts.
Just put those two guys in a room.
On a lie detector test.
Yeah, those two guys in a room.
Like, make sure he's connected.
I mean, maybe we're going to read about all of it in RG3's book.
That's a good point.
Back to the origin.
August 2022. That gives us plenty of time to break
get
down.
Get ready, guys. I mean, we didn't have a premature announcement.
And no. By the way,
what is this, pre-book sales before Christmas?
Ghostbusters got a shorter announcement that it was coming out before the pandemic that RG3's book.
And let me tell you something. My career there in Washington was spoiled, ruined, and trashed. And I always still continued to speak the truth about what I experienced and what I saw and the amount of hate and anger that came my way for saying it. It was not safe to say things like what I was saying, even though it was the truth back then. So RG3, with all due respect, it's kind of like a bitch move to come out and say you're going to do a tell-all now. Why didn't you do your tell-all about 3-4 years ago? Why not do the tell-all like before now?
Because he was still trying to play.
Yeah, because you were scared of the backlash that you would receive saying what you believed your truth was in a time where it was not, you didn't have all of the stuff that has come out with the cheerleaders and the emails and all this stuff that makes it safe for you to be a front runner of justice. I hate when dudes do bitch moves to be heroes and heroic about the things that they're doing, and you do it in the comfort of knowing that people already know what's going on. Stand up and be a man. Do that S before now. Do it before now. Someone like me said this for years. Go back into the annals and the history of saying this is a dysfunctional place. This is an evil dude. This dude does what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. I was basically like, I don't even want to use the word that I'm thinking. I was ran out of that city just for trying to stand up for myself. I didn't ask to be attacked over what took place. I don't have to rehash what happened when I was there. But I know this. I was the face of an organization. I was the face of a city. And I was deeply rooted and entrenched in that city and did so many things outside of the scope and the realm of what happened in between the lines on the football field. And then for some strange reason, now I'm being attacked and being called this, that, and the other. He's washed. He's overrated. He's this. He's that. He's dumb. He's dumb as a brick. He's this. He's that and the other. And I still stood on my truth all them years. And then you get a dude like this that waits. You're going to wait.
Well,
sissy move.
But that's our
America. That's our reality today. Is our America is full of a bunch of sissified dudes that think that they can just run with stuff and be heroes based off of being a sissy.
Here's how we handle it. You'll never be a hero to me. Here's how we handle it, because you got the law offices of Knox and Quinn at your services here. So this is what we're going to do, LeVar. RG3's book comes out August 2022. LeVar's book comes out July 2022. Let's go. Let's beat him to the punch. Brady and I'll get on a social media storm.
I'm not in competition with sissies.
I'm telling you. Well, I mean, you work with one every morning. I don't know if you know that or not.
I'm not in competition with you. I work with you.
It's two pros and a cup of Joe here. Fox Sports Radio brought to you by Discover. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. All right, it's coming up next. We're going to hear from, I don't know if he's going to be a remorseful, a sad, possibly disturbed Albert Breer, but you know, he did give out some poor gambling advice a week ago. We're going to get the latest from Albert on that, and all the other news and notes from around the NFL is yours right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Right now, we're going to welcome in the great Albert Breer, a senior NFL reporter for the MMQB. You can get him on Twitter, at Albert Breer. Albert, hold on a second. We're just having some little technical difficulty. Give me 1 second here. I'm not going to ask him about why
Ohio State.
I'm not going to ask him about why he told us to take Ohio State minus 8.5. Sorry, Albert.
Oh.
I just needed to clear up some house cleaning.
I've been waiting to do this all year. Albert, I've been waiting to do this all year.
Albert, what's happening? Good morning.
I want to make sure I called into the right place. This is the Iowa Hawkeye fan club.
Yes. That is correct. Yes, that is correct.
Yep. Well done. Yep. Well done, sir. Yeah.
How we feeling? Was that, how frustrating was that game to watch, or did you just come to terms with it?
Guys, there's nothing more frustrating than watching your team get run on like that. I mean, it's like it is way worse to get run on for 300 yards than it is to get thrown on for 300 yards. And I think anybody who's watched, you know, 10 minutes of football in their life and rooted for anybody knows that. And so, I mean, hopefully at least I think it's going to lead to some changes. But, it sucked. It sucked. And you know, it's a feeling I really hadn't had.
For so long.
In 18 years.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
There's your flex.
The 11 game was like an interim coach. It was Luke Fickell as the interim coach, and we were more or less on probation. The last time they beat us legitimately, the game was in standard def. It's been that long.
Wow. So, humble flex.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Hey, listen,
you haven't lost
it. It was a tough experience. I'll tell you what, though. I mean, the victory lap they've taken is unbelievable. I have never seen. I mean, I'll usually pound my chest for a day. It's still going on. It's like, oh God.
So what you're saying is
that's how it works, man. Yeah, they get to do it for the next year,
the whole year.
I know.
Hey, Albert. We just came out of a segment where I basically said some horrible things as it applies to Robert Griffin III. And listen, I want it to be clear. I'm not taking a personal attack at RG3 for releasing that he's going to do a tell-all book. But, you know, my contingency here is that isn't it understood now? Doesn't everyone know the type of person that the owner of the football team in Washington is now? Like, it's not – you're not giving any stunning revelations. And no matter what it is that you say, you're not giving any stunning revelations as to what we now perceive that person to be or what we perceive that environment to be. I mean, isn't this a safe move for Robert Griffin III to kind of detail why his career maybe didn't go the way that it was supposed to go?
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to promote a book first and foremost. So, you know, I mean, more power to him for that. Like, you know, you got something you want to get out there, you want to monetize it. You know, I can understand like why you would tease a book the way that he's teasing a book, because, you know, I think he probably had some stories in there that people are going to be interested in. And it wasn't, I mean, I covered those teams. You know, I was around those teams a lot, LeVar.
Yep. So you know.
2012 and 2013, 2014. And I remember how contentious it got, not just between, you know, ownership and the people in the building, but ownership and head coach like Shanahan, ownership and, you know, the with it, their involvement with the quarterback situation. So, like, I know what you're saying. I would much rather see what the NFL found on Dan Snyder and what's going on in that building than what Robert Griffin says. Like, that's what I want to know. I want to know what, you know, a federal prosecutor went in there and found out. Like, I think we have a right. I think the general public has a right to, you know, have at least an idea of what they found, because the public trust between, you know, between the different, you know, different cities, regions, and these teams. But, you know, I don't know how much what Robert Griffin's going to say is going to be that out of bounds, because so much of, I mean, we've already found, we already know so much about what happened
right
there. And, you know, really, I'd like to see what, like, a neutral party went in there and found, you know, like what Beth Wilkinson, who the NFL hired, and independently ran that investigation. I want to see what, like, just somebody who doesn't have an axe to grind found. It's a little obviously, like, there will be some good stories in the Robert Griffin book, but, I mean, obviously you have to understand that that's coming from a certain perspective, too. I think RG3 still feels like they screwed up his career, and so it's going to come from that perspective.
Right, yeah.
Albert, I want to ask you just more regards to what we're seeing in the landscape of the NFL with head coaches have to be asked about potentially taking college jobs. Like, do you think we're getting to a point, because of how much college coaches are being paid, that some of these NFL organizations either are going to have to ante up or potentially risk losing a head coach who is going to get that 10-year, $95 or $100 million contract from a university?
Yeah, Brady, I think that there's good, absolutely going to be an effect. And I think you already saw it with Cliff, right? Like, so Cliff's done a really good job in Arizona. 3 years, they've gotten better each year. They're in position to contend for a Super Bowl this year. And he did a four-year deal, and he doesn't have a contract past 2022. And so, you know, wanting to capitalize on where you're at makes sense that you would seek out leverage. And it's hard to do that because you can't really do that with other NFL teams, because you'd be breaking the tampering rules, right? So how do you do that? Well, there's an opening in Oklahoma. I coached in that conference. I played in that conference. Like, why not just see if they're interested? And so, like, I think you're going to see a little bit more of that. And then I think the overarching effect, which is more interesting to me, Brady, is that, like, I think you have to look at what USC and LSU actually did, right? So, like, normally you would see one of those schools go and get maybe, like, a coordinator in another, you know, blue blood, or a head coach from a lower-level Power 5 or a Group of 5 school. And USC and LSU basically said, to hell with that. We're just going to go steal another Blue Bloods head coach, right? Like, LSU, we're going to go steal Notre Dame's head coach. USC, we're going to go steal Oklahoma's head coach. So how could that have an effect in the NFL? Well, I think, you know, because one of the reasons that happened in college football is because there was a little bit of a shallow, I would say, pool of candidates this year in college. I think the same thing exists in the NFL. So I think the effect in the NFL now, Brady, is going to be, instead of teams just exclusively looking at other teams' coordinators or college coaches, I think they're going to start looking at each other's head coaches. And so if you're the Chicago Bears, do you say, screw it, let's go get Sean Payton out of New Orleans, who doesn't have a quarterback down there right now? If you're the Raiders, do you say, let's go see if Mike Tomlin would be interested? Ben Roethlisberger's retiring. How long is Kevin Colbert going to be there? So I think that that could wind up being the effect, is that, like, some NFL teams that have openings may look at it and say, let's go do what USC and LSU just did, and forget about going and taking a chance on a younger guy. Let's go get an established guy from one of our peers.
He's Albert Breer joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on FSR. You can get him on Twitter at Albert Breer. Albert, you mentioned Sean Payton in New Orleans. I wanted to ask you, because Taysom Hill obviously is going to get the start tonight. Trevor Siemian struggled. I mean, we've been pounding the table for Ian Book. Why not give him a look at least? But, I mean, moving forward, What's the plan there? Is it going to be let's find somebody in the draft, or is Sean Payton and New Orleans going to take a swing at one of these potential big-name quarterbacks that are going to be available, whether it be a Deshaun or a Russ or an Aaron Rodgers in the offseason?
Yeah, and I think your teams that, like, we presume are going to be involved, right? Like, so there were four really kind of in the Deshaun thing over the summer. That was Philly, Carolina, Denver, and Miami. And I think you're going to have some new teams that will be involved. Pittsburgh potentially, the Giants, maybe the Browns, the Saints. And I think what these teams are going to find is that the and Brady, you know this, you're around the college game, you know, every week. I don't think the talent pool quarterback coming out of college is quite the same this year as it's been the last couple of years.
Oh, come on. Come on, Albert. Don't disrespect my guy, Kenny Pickett, like that. Come on.
Well, all right. Outside of Kenny Pickett, how about that?
There you go. Yeah. Now we can talk.
All right. All right. Well, and so I think a lot of these teams, I think what's going to happen is teams are going to be looking at veteran options, and they're the obvious three, right? Like, so is Rodgers available? Is Watson available? Is Wilson available? Watson, I think, will be available. Wilson, I think, probably will. Rodgers will see. And then I think once you get past that, where things could get interesting, guys, is could there be a game of musical chairs a little bit where teams sort of move quarterbacks around to get, like, quote-unquote, fresh starts other places, right? So could the Saints potentially look at a guy they really like coming out a few years like a Baker Mayfield? Like, if the Browns make the decision, we're going to go after Deshaun Watson. Well, now they can't have Watson and Mayfield both on the roster, so they got to go find somebody who liked Mayfield coming out a few years ago. And could someone like Sean Payton say, you know what? The first 4 years of Baker Mayfield isn't that different than the first 4 years of Drew Brees in San Diego. So maybe I take a shot on somebody like that. So I think we've all focused on these three guys, Watson, Wilson, and Rodgers. But I actually think, like, there could be a bigger game of musical chairs that could go on, too, with, again, guys like Baker Mayfield, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo, where you see teams moving quarterbacks around the league to kind of get fresh starts in new places. And I certainly think the Saints would be in the mix for something like that if they're not in at the high end of the market because they've got cap issues going into 2022.
AB, a team that isn't doing that right now is the Dallas Cowboys. But you get a coach that's now out with COVID. They've got a losing streak, a healthy one going right now. How important is it for them in a game where we're actually asking questions? Hey, let's see if another quarterback can make it work with New Orleans. How important is it for this Dallas team to have a good showing and win this game tonight?
Oh, it's a big game of our. I mean, like, you look at where they're at. They're 7-4. Washington's only two games back now. Washington won the division last year. And, I mean, those players on that Washington team, they don't think Dallas is much better than them, you know? So, I think coming out and playing, like, a representative game tonight, you know, coming off of, you know, losing to the Raiders on Thanksgiving is enormous for where this team is and where they stand going forward. They've been through a lot. You know, like, they lost Dak earlier in the year for a game. You know, obviously they've had the situation with the receiver room over the last few weeks, you know, and Amari Cooper getting COVID and CeeDee Lamb getting banged up. And so, you know, I just think for kind of where they stand in the division, they've lost so much ground over the last two or three weeks where it looked like a fait accompli a month ago that they were just going to run away with the East. Now they're not in that position so much anymore. I mean, think about this, guys. They could come out of week 13 only up a game on Washington. You know, they still got to play them. So I think this is a huge game for Dallas. And I'll tell you this, too. I mean, for Dan Quinn, it could be a big opportunity also. You know, we talk about like a shallow candidate pool. Well, Dan Quinn's done a great job with that defense, developing young guys like Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs there. You know, could this be a nice showcase for Dan Quinn too, who, by the way, took a team to a Super Bowl 5 years ago. We all know what happened when they got there, but he got the team to the Super Bowl 5 years ago. I think it's a good opportunity for Dan Quinn also.
Mm. He is the senior NFL reporter at the MMQB. Get him on Twitter, at Albert Breer. Albert, always appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for the time. Let's do it again next week. And
thanks, Albert.
Sorry, LeVar, I had to take a shot at you when it came to Ohio State there. I apologize.
No. Hey, go Hawkeyes, guys.
Yeah, go Hawkeyes.
Just like that.
Good chat with Albert there. By the way, I do like how he pointed out that Michigan's been having a victory lap. I mean, it's been a long time since they beat Ohio State.
It's been a long time since a Big Ten team has beat Ohio State.
Yeah. So, people are going to celebrate. I mean, that's par for the course, I think. You know, and it was a big moment for them. So they gotta celebrate while they can. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. All right. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on FSR. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. Coming up next, it is another edition of the Prop Bet Monster. We're going to take a closer look at Thursday night football coming up between the Cowboys and the Saints. It's yours right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. We are going to have another edition of the Prop Bet Monster coming up here momentarily on Fox Sports Radio. So always a good time, huh? Always a jamming good time as we get ready. And you guys are going to be, in other places this weekend. Styx is going to be in Vegas, yeah. Tearing it up there in Vegas.
I don't know about them.
Are we going to get you back? Or is Vegas going to just swallow you whole?
You going to get the Vegas flu?
No, yeah. I'll be good.
Sure?
I'll be tired, but I'll be good.
Because you got the Harrisburg flu, didn't you?
I did. It's probably worse than Harrisburg, though. If you can imagine that, places in Pittsburgh or central Pennsylvania or near Penn State, it's bad. My weather conditions are way worse there. Vegas is fine. I'll be fine.
And is the weather going to be better in Indy than
in Vegas?
In Ann Arbor with what you were dealing with last week, Brady? I know. Is it going to be
a little different?
Well, I know.
Yeah, what does it matter?
But like walking around,
getting
to and from.
Yeah,
if you don't want to go outside, you really don't have to.
It's crazy.
Really?
There's literally a tunnel system. Yeah.
So dope.
It's a great city for conventions and events, especially in the wintertime, for that very reason. Like, all the hotels are almost kind of connected, or you've got like little short ways of getting to their tunnel system or their walkways to really never have to go outside. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I do believe the same people that were architects for the nation's capital are the same people that did the same architecture layout for Indiana.
I thought we were going to be talking about RFK or...
No.
Yeah, but I'm glad you called it.
You might be right. I have no idea on that.
I think so.
I'm glad you called it by the proper name, though. It is RFK for Washington.
Well, that was for Jonas. I said FedEx Field for LeVar.
Yeah.
It does get cold inside of Lucas Oil, though.
I think any big venue like that during the wintertime, it still gets cold.
Yeah,
it's not
it
like completely
cold.
Insulated.
Yeah, I mean,
not when Chris Jones is running.
You would?
No. It still looks warm at least when he's out there in this combine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just stop there, Jonas.
I mean, it was the greatest 40-yard dash we've ever seen. I've never seen. someone so big move that fast.
I'm just glad that that's the first memory that came to your mind. And ironically enough, he popped up on the television right after you said it.
Excuse me, sir, you dropped your volleyballs on the turf.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Were you fully derobed when you were watching that 40-yard dash take place?
That's none of your business. Okay.
I just want to know if he'd be a tenth faster if he wasn't carrying so much baggage.
that is a good point.
Real question.
That is a good point.
Like, if you're a DB and your entire, like, whether or not you get drafted in the first round is contingent that's upon a tenth in the 40-yard dash, imagine having that predicament.
Try having a carry-on bag on your belt buckle and tell me how fast you would run. You know what I mean? Rough out there, man.
You're going to go to the belt buckle, huh?
All right.
You definitely were derobed.
All right. It is time for something we do every single week on the show called this.
Here to feed your degenerate gambling soul. The Prop Bet Monster.
All right, and away we go. We finished in a tie last week, so LeVar Arrington continues to hold on to a one-game lead. A one-game lead here on the Prop Bet Monster. This is where we take a close look at Thursday and Monday Night Football. I make up some props. I throw them at Brady and LeVar, and we see how we do. So let's get it started. Cowboys Saints, 8:20 Eastern time on Fox later on tonight. So here we go. Let's get it started. Number of quarterbacks who take a snap for New Orleans. Over under 1.5.
I'm gonna say under.
I'm gonna take over.
So you think they're gonna roll with Taysom Hill the entire time? You don't think any other quarterback's gonna come in at any point to take?
If he's starting, you've got to give him the chance to go in there and then do his thing. Like I don't think someone else is gonna come in. Then you put him in that wildcat mode because then you subject him to getting knocked out. So he's not playing special teams. He's not going to play other stuff. If he's starting, he's the guy. So I think they stick with him.
That's a disrespect to Ian Book. Unbelievable.
No.
I think it makes sense. It makes sense what he's saying, but I think it's going to be over.
All right, so let's talk about Taysom Hill. His longest play, is it a pass, a run, or other?
Pass.
Yeah, I got to go with pass.
All right. I mean, he has been used on special teams at times.
I don't know that he's going to be able to run that well against these dudes.
He's not used on special teams.
Well, he has been at times.
If he's starting quarterback.
Hey, listen, you never know, man. You just never know. Listen, you guys know. You never play the game. All right, let's go to next up here. Dan Quinn's hat. Forwards or backwards? And if you bet backwards, it is the wild card additional point given to it. Now the reason I ask this question, when he's working as a D coordinator, he always has his hat on backwards. So that's where this comes in.
Always, huh?
Yeah, every time.
Every time.
Not making that up.
I think the hat's going to be forward. All right.
I'm with LeVar. I think the hat's going to be forward. Yeah. I know you're trying to entice us into the backwards hat and all that.
Sweeten the pot a little bit here.
One thing you learn in the NFL, and hopefully LeVar can co-sign on this, you never say always and never.
Yeah.
Just because it's not – that doesn't happen.
You have to be a tendency breaker.
Yeah. Exactly. There's always that one time. There's always that one tendency breaker. And so you use – always wears a backwards, not the case.
For Christ's sake. I mean, come on, man. Why do I have to be held hostage by a word I used during a prop bet monster game?
Well, because you used it.
You used it.
All right.
We're talking about the NFL. I mean, you know about that.
So I agree. I'm surprised you know me. Football guy. Built for this, man.
Yeah.
All right. Next up here, who leads the Cowboys in receptions? Amari Cooper, C.D. Lamb, Michael Gallup, or Dalton Schultz?
CD Lamb, but is Amari Cooper even playing?
Yeah, he's playing.
Are we sure about that?
All right, here it goes. Because last week, at the time I made the prop bets last week.
I'm asking now. This is Thursday morning.
He's playing, man. All right, unless he's got Omericom or whatever that new the variant is that they're talking about. Amari Cooper's playing. All right,
that hasn't touched down in Dallas yet. Just San Fran. yeah, I'm gonna go with CD Lamb on this one as well. Did you say other?
No, Michael Gallup, Dalton Schultz.
Because I felt like maybe Cedric
Wilson.
Yeah, I think maybe he could possibly be up in there. But
what's the most famous Dalton you know of other than Schultz? And don't say Andy Dalton. But if you're a movie buff, you should know what this is. Dalton from Roadhouse. Remember Patrick Swayze's character from Roadhouse?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Good show.
I mean, listen, I worked in bars. Brady's never really had to work in a restaurant or anything.
That's not true. I actually tend bar almost annually for my foundation.
Yeah. So I ran one and owned it. Yeah. I worked in it.
All right.
Probably more hours than everyone.
All right.
Know.
Next up here, last one. It is a famous New Orleans landmark that is shown first during the broadcast. Is it Bourbon Street, the Steve Gleason statue, the French Quarter, or the place where news anchor Brian Williams lied about seeing a dead body float by in the street?
I was hoping you'd say the arena, but I'm going to go with Bourbon Street.
I think he's right, Bourbon Street. Although, is Brian Williams even on TV anymore?
I don't think so. Yeah. That was just a little blast of the past.
He was waiting for us to jump all on that.
A little blast of the past.
I'm tempted to change my answer to that one, too, by the way.
That was one of my...
Take it if you want it, man.
My go-tos for Brady.
Still is one of his go-tos.
Lying about a floating body.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.